first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening to Spouting Off. If you're listening at 1 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're broadcasting it live. There's so much going on, as there always is, but we're going to dive right into a guest. Maybe I'll have some comments later because I've got a load of stuff to talk about. But some of that load I want to discuss with our very first guest. He is Tea Party Patriots man in Washington. See, you thought Tea Party and the Tea Party and the Tea Party Patriots, maybe you thought they were gone. No. He is a spokesperson for Tea Party Patriots in Action. He covers a whole lot of ground and territory, and I have a feeling we're going to do that today. His name is Bill Pasco, and he joins us right now. Welcome, Bill, to Spouting Off.
Good to be with you, Karen.
Good to have you. I guess the very first thing that is on people's minds, but then so many things get missed and covered over when the media does 24/7 coverage or ignores things completely, is this debt ceiling vote that is going on now. We see this every year. We see the same fights. And what do we need to know about this? I got plenty of questions, but in general, what do we need to know about this?
Well, I think the most important thing that we need to know is simply that our spending, our government's spending, is out of control. Let's begin with that premise. We've already racked up $31.4 trillion in debt. That's now larger than the size of our economy. And if you want to put this in terms that people can understand, because nobody knows what a trillion is, let alone 31 trillion, think of it as your own household budget. You know how much credit you have. You know how much debt you have. You know what your earning potential is. You know that when the size of your accumulated debt is larger than your annual gross income, you've spent too much money and you need to start reining it back, because that's when you get into serious financial trouble. Everybody can carry a little bit of debt. We've got credit card debt. Lots of people have mortgage debt. That's fine as long as it's within reason. As long as it's less than your annual income, you're good to go. But when your credit card debt is larger than your annual income, then you're in trouble. That's where we are with the federal government of the United States. Our economy is somewhere in the 20s, $23, $24, $25 trillion a year is what we're doing in a year. Our debt is now larger than that. So that's the first thing to understand. We simply cannot sustain this. If it goes on much longer, we're talking about an economic crisis that looks like Greece or that looks like Germany in the 1920s, where people are carrying cash in wheelbarrows to the grocery store because it takes that much paper currency to buy their weekly groceries. That's something we haven't seen in this country, but we've seen it in other countries when they get into this same similar kind of fiscal situation. It's something that we all need to worry about. That's the first thing. The second thing we need to understand is that in order to change the debt limit, in order to allow the federal government, here's the problem. The federal government spends more money every year than it takes in. It takes in money through taxes. It takes money from corporations. It takes money from individuals. It takes money from businesses. It gets tax revenues. The problem is it spends more money every month and every year. It spends more money than it brings in. And that creates an annual deficit, and that gets added to our national debt. That's how it is that we're sitting on $31 trillion. That means that we've consumed $31 trillion of goods and services that we haven't paid for. We borrowed money to pay for it. And we've hit that credit limit. And that's a law. There's a law on the books of the federal government that says the federal government may borrow no more than $31.4 trillion, or else. And the or else is it can't do it. So in order for the government to keep running and keep paying all the bills it has, it needs the Congress to change the law. It needs the Congress to raise that limit, either raise the limit by a number, say we're going to add $2 trillion more, or to suspend the debt limit to a date certain. And what the Congress just did last week, the House just passed a bill that starts this negotiation that says we will raise the debt limit by $1.5 trillion. We'll go from $31.4 to $32.9 trillion, or March 31, 2024, whichever comes first. Now, they're going to use up $1.5 trillion very quickly. Hard to believe that, but that's about a year's worth of our deficit spending. We got a report from the Congressional Budget Office a couple of weeks ago that said they had anticipated, 6 months ago, they had anticipated that the yearly deficit for fiscal 2023, we're in fiscal year 2023 right now, they had anticipated that for the entire year, the deficit would be $1.4 trillion. But a couple weeks ago, they came out and they said, well, the first 6 months are in, and we were off in our projections. We were projecting a $700 trillion deficit for the first 6 months. That would come out to $1.4 trillion for the whole year. Instead, what we're looking at is $1.1 trillion in deficit spending for the first 6 months of the year. If we do the same in the second 6 months of the year, that would make the deficit for this year $2.2 trillion. In just 1 year, we would have borrowed $2.2 trillion. So the House has passed a bill that says, all right, we're going to raise the deficit. We're going to raise the debt ceiling. Excuse me, not the deficit. We're going to raise the debt ceiling. And in exchange for raising the debt ceiling, we're going to cut future spending. We're going to save $4.8 trillion. So it's a better than 3-to-1 match. For every $1 in increased debt spending, we're going to cut future spending by $3. Now, the House has passed that bill. And the Senate now has to act. The Senate doesn't want to do that. The Senate's controlled by Democrats. The Senate says, well, we just want to raise the debt ceiling. We don't want to have any spending cuts. We should just raise the debt ceiling. And then if you want to argue about spending cuts, that's a separate negotiation we should do over there when we talk about the budget. And the Republicans in the House are saying, nah, that's not what we're going to do because we don't really think you guys want to cut the budget. We have leverage now. We have something you want. You want to raise the debt ceiling. We're willing to give you what you want, but only in exchange for something that we want. That's the way negotiations work. That's the way a deal works. You give me something, I give you something. So I'm giving you the debt ceiling increase that you want. You should give me the spending cuts that I want. And right now, they're staring at each other. Yeah. Neither side is blinking.
Bill, let me ask you, how often in your memory, because you watch this way more carefully and more in detail than most of us do, how often have we seen Republicans stand up and use that bargaining chip that they've had in the past but refused to use?
Not nearly as often as they should have. I think the last time, we've had several debt ceiling increases since the Obama years. And here's, let's put this in context. When Barack Obama became president in January of 2009, the debt of the United States was less than $10 trillion, less than 10. It took us 200 years plus to get to that point. Since Barack Obama became president, the debt has more than tripled. We've gone from less than $10 trillion in debt to more than $30 trillion in debt. We've done that in the last 12 years or so.
I remember when the Tea Party went to the mattresses over the very first, if I remember correctly, 970 something billion dollars that created the Tea Party. Am I right?
That's right. There was two pieces of legislation really that came within a year of each other. And in the fall of 2008, right before the presidential election of 2008, you had the Wall Street bailout, $700 billion to bail out the Wall Street banks. And then Barack Obama, a month after that, we had the 2008 election and Barack Obama defeated John McCain. He became president in January of 2009, and he immediately moved that so-called stimulus bill, that was almost $1 trillion. You're exactly right. And that's when the Tea Party was born.
Yeah. And I was there. Happened, I remember watching that. I wasn't like, yeah. Okay. What were you going to say? Because there's lots more to talk about.
So the debt, at the time, the debt was less than $10 trillion. That was manageable. At the time, we had about a $18 trillion a year economy. And when the debt was $9 trillion on an $18 trillion economy, okay, that's manageable. It's evidence of irresponsible governance. Obviously, if you can't sustain spending more money than you have for very long, that's the problem. You can do it in a time of war, in a time of emergency. Now, we just went through COVID, where by government order, businesses were shut down all across the country. And when the government ordered that, the government recognized, you know what, we're throwing a lot of people out of work. It's not their fault that we are ordering their businesses to be closed, that we're ordering their schools to be closed, we're ordering the hospitals to be closed. It's not their fault that they're losing their jobs. We should inject money into the economy. And they just started spending money, you know, at a rate that would make drunken sailors
flush.
Geez,
so isn't that great, Bill? We see it again and again. They create the problem, and then they say, gee, we care, and they prescribe the solution that they wanted to prescribe all along, which
exactly
was to make people dependent on government, because government impoverishes citizens to grow government. Let's cut to the chase. I'm delighted that I have you for at least another segment. Maybe we'll talk about a few other things if you can stick around, but I know you can stick around for this one. Talk about that, if you would, and we do have about a minute, but we will come right back and continue. Impoverishing citizens to grow government. They spend other people's money. We are left holding the bag, and they pay off their buddies with it. They squander it, and I don't think it's accidental. I don't think it's incompetence. What say you?
I agree with you, and that's why it's so important that in the bill that just passed the House, one of the things that they do, it's a 320-page long bill. There's a lot of stuff in there. One of the things that they do, very importantly, they say, let's reset. Let's go back a couple years. It wasn't like we were a horrible government 2 years ago. We weren't leaving children hungry in the streets. We weren't throwing seniors out of their retirement
homes. I apologize. Hold that thought. I asked you a big question and you were answering it. We're going to continue with Bill Pasko of Tea Party Patriots right after this. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We are talking to Tea Party Patriots man in Washington about the debt ceiling. I also want to, because in this segment we have the time to get to this crazy notion that Biden and Harris are going to seek re-election. Oh, my. And they're saying they're going to. But let's just thank you for staying with us, Bill. We so appreciate it.
Happy to be here with you, Karen.
Great. So just wrapping up on the debt ceiling, because we've seen this again and again and again. I don't think most Republicans, let alone Democrats have never shown any desire to be responsible with the taxpayer money. All they've ever shown is a desire to tax and spend and grow government. That's what I want your just final thoughts on. I mean, we get left holding the bag, as I said before the break, and they spend OPM, other people's money, like, as you said, drunken sailors. It seems like a helpless predicament to be in. It's like having a irresponsible brother-in-law who keeps spending all your money and telling you it's for your own good. What do we do?
Well, you know, back in 2011, when Republicans first took control of the Congress after the 2010 elections, so you had Barack Obama elected president in 2008. You had the two bailouts, the one right before the election and the second one right after the election, and that created the Tea Party. And then you had this massive election in 2010 where people rejected the Democrats' big spending. And Republicans came in. And then in 2011, with a Republican House, then we had a budget negotiation over the debt ceiling, just like we're doing now. And that was when Speaker Boehner was the speaker. And believe it or not, the deal that they cut using the same leverage, exactly the same situation, where you had a Republican House and a Democrat Senate and a Democrat in the White House,
yeah,
the House Republicans held firm, and they got a negotiation that, believe it or not, for the first time in anybody's memory, we actually were able to cut spending. We cut future spending, and we were able to bring a little bit of discipline for the next couple of years. You remember the sequester? That was part of the Budget Control Act of 2011. Mm-hmm. And it lasted for a couple of years before the Republicans then lost their spines again. Mm-hmm. But for a couple of years there, it actually worked. That's what we're hoping. We're seeing that Speaker McCarthy and the House Republicans have shown some spine. They've shown that they're serious. They passed a bill through the House. It raises the debt ceiling. But in addition to raising the debt ceiling, it demands future spending cuts. And President Biden is saying his position is, no, I just want the debt ceiling raised. I don't want to talk about spending cuts.
Right. Well, they never
somebody's
do.
Gonna have to
do
blame.
They ever?
Somebody's gonna
in
have
the
to
history of Democrats, have they ever wanted to cut spending? Only
never.
Raise, only spend. It's all they ever do, spend.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one place they do want to cut spending. They've always wanted to cut defense spending.
The military, that's
exactly.
Correct.
The one
Oh, and defund the police.
The federal government,
you know, because while we're robbing you of all your hard-earned money, we don't want you to be safe by having a police. It's really like the opposite of everything the government's job is to do, right?
Exactly.
If it's a job of the government to secure the borders, to keep a line on spending and to protect the populace, they don't want to do it. Everything else, they've created rules and laws, rights, they do want to do. I'm sorry, I'm a bottom line kind of gal, and that's just how it seems to me.
Well, you know, one of the funny things we saw this week, earlier this week, we saw news that President Biden is sending 1,500 troops to the southern border in anticipation of lifting the Title 42 regulation that they've been using to help them control, I'm making air quotes. Their control of the southern border, they're going to get rid of Title 42, and they're anticipating a surge. And I'm thinking, wait a second, 1,500 troops to the border. I thought it was just last week that the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, was once again telling the Congress, oh, we've got control over the border. Everything's copacetic. What are you talking about? What's the worry? No problem.
Wait a minute. So who started the problem with the Title 42? Who opened the borders? Who wanted to get rid of Title 42, which is only putting a tiny crimp in the spigot or taking the crimp out? And now they're going to apply more pressure for a problem they created.
Well, it works. It's a model that works. Let's create a problem and then have government solve it. And that makes government look good. And guess what? It grows government. So this
is so
frustrating. Just to go back to the debt ceiling fight, one of the things that the Republicans did with that bill is they said, let's just go back 2 years. The amount of money that we were spending as a federal government 2 years ago, you can't say we were heartless or cruel. We're not talking about going back to the 1800s. We're talking about going back 2 years. Can't we just save that much money? And the Democrats are screaming bloody murder. Oh, we would be throwing people out on the streets. My goodness.
It's nonsense. I mean, at some point, you have to stop taking them at their word because their word means nothing. And just a couple comments on Biden running for re-election. Nobody absolutely believes that he or Harris will be the candidates because they say whatever they want. And then 6 months later, 5 months later, 2 months later, oh, oops. Now, you know, they said Democrats themselves are concerned about Biden's age. He'll be pushed to 90. What will he be, 88 or something? And he looks totally oblivious to life as we know it now. My point is it's not just that he's too old. It's that he's too corrupt. And I think that the fact that he's being portrayed as someone who is being taken seriously is just another lie. What do you say?
Well, Gallup came out with a poll just last week. His approval rating is down to 37%. There's
who
a reason.
Are those 37%? I want to know. But go ahead.
Exactly.
Who
you gotta
are
wonder,
they?
Is the Biden family that big? That it represents 37% of a national sample? Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Maybe they were just calling Delaware. Who knows? Anyway, but stop and think for a moment. We've got an economy that's got the worst inflation in 40 years. We've got a crisis at the southern border. We've had literally more than 6 million illegal immigrants have come into the country just in the two years and a couple months that he's been president. We had the debacle in Afghanistan, the worst foreign policy crisis of the last couple of decades, which sent a signal. It wasn't just Afghanistan that was troubling. What was troubling about that, in addition, was that it sent a signal to other people around the world. Vladimir Putin decided, hey, this guy's even weaker than I thought. I don't have to wait. I'll go into Ukraine now. The Chinese are now watching that, trying to decide, is now the time to go into Taiwan? I mean, we're talking about serious foreign policy stuff here that has all gone upside down since he became president. Under other circumstances, people would look at this and say, no, this guy's not going to run for re-election. He's got no chance of getting re-elected. 70% of the country answers a pollster's question and says, no, I don't want him to run for re-election. And yet, as you say, he announces he's going to run. I'm with you, though. I don't think that a year from now, he's going to be the Democrat nominee. I think this is a charade. I haven't figured out
what isn't today.
I haven't figured out who they're going to put in place.
What isn't a charade today? They say anything they want. They do anything they want. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know it's so frustrating. And go ahead. Go ahead. I apologize.
quite all right. It's your show.
Yeah. I just get so worked up, Bill. I get worked up because, let's cut to another chase about them saying that Biden will run. I mean, nothing any politician says this far out ever matters anyway. But that being said, they are playing the media and the public as if they have elections locked down and they could elect Howdy Doody. And that's what I really want to talk about. While we're sitting here applying the old principles to a country that frankly has all but disappeared, they have ways of twisting elections. Election integrity. You only lie with impunity when you don't care what people think. Am I wrong?
No, I think you've got a point. Let's stop and remember the 2020 election, which is still disputed in many parts of the country. Even if you accept all the quote-unquote certified, quote-unquote official results, the Biden-Harris ticket won the state of Georgia by fewer than 11,000 votes. It won the state of Arizona by fewer than 12,000 votes. It won the state of Nevada by not many more than that. It won Pennsylvania by about 40,000 votes. You're talking about a very close election. Remember, in 2016, Donald Trump did something that no Republican candidate had done since 1988, and that is he won Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan. He won those upper Midwest states, and no Republican had done that, and it was because of his appeal to blue-collar workers. The Republican Party has changed in the last 10 years because of Donald Trump and his effect. Blue-collar workers, people without a college degree, are now majority voting Republican. That's something that we haven't seen for an awfully long time. But the point in 2016, it was a very close election. In 2020, it was even a closer election. Now we've had this terrible economy. We've had the surge at the border.
I don't know if it was close, but we're only going to speculate. That's the problem. When you have people colluding to lie to the public that their vote matters, which doesn't mean we shouldn't vote, but I would love to see Tea Party patriots work on nothing but election integrity and to get these voting machines off the internet completely. I don't think that election judges are what we need. We need something so much more severe because without the integrity of our elections, we got nothing. And one other thing, when the propaganda media demonizes people for asking those questions, any reasonable thinking person is going to be that much more suspicious that they're on the right track. Most people know that. They're called election deniers, and I don't talk about this that often. They're called anything is a denier if they want you to buy the lie, and you're not allowed to ask questions. So I guess I'll just ask you, what is, I've talked to Jenny Beth Martin, but I don't think we can apply the same old rules because they're cleaning our clocks, and they don't care how much they lie, cheat, and steal. What do we do about that?
Well, you're exactly right in talking about election integrity. And Jenny Beth, you know, has spent the last 2+ years, ever since the 2020 election, she has made that a focus of Tea Party Patriots' actions, activities around the country. She has personally delivered more than 200 presentations around the country, going to all these key battleground states. I mean, we're not talking about trying to change the system everywhere. That's too big a job. But we can change the system in the 6, 8, 10, maybe 12 states where presidential elections are won or lost. And we all know what those states are. It's Arizona,
yes, we do.
It's Georgia.
We do.
You know, it's Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. And guess what? That's where she's been going. And we've been recruiting grassroots activists and taking the people who have been working on all the issues we care about. They've been working on the debt. They've been working on fiscal responsibility. They've been working on the border surge and illegal immigration. And now they want to work on election integrity.
So
because
great.
You're right. I mean, the election is what the Constitution gives us as the means to control the direction of the government. That's what we use to replace bad politicians.
But and may I say, if I may, that the track record of imposing their will upon law-abiding citizens, disregarding life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is exactly what they're about right now. So it's not out of context to say that they would take away our vote. Had they taken away our liberties? Have they taken away our right to make a living? Have they curtailed people's rights to peaceably assemble? So that is really the final battleground. And I'm just glad that you highlighted that because I have said that we could run, conservatives could run, Mother Teresa, Abraham Lincoln, and Tom Brady all rolled into one, and he's not going to win on the Republican ticket unless we have remotely honest elections.
Unless we have honest elections, and that's what it comes down to. You're absolutely right. If the elections aren't honest, and just as importantly, if people don't believe the elections are honest,
exactly,
we got a real problem on our hands.
Yeah.
Our system is the let's face it. Around the world, there's a reason that we have this immigration crisis with illegal immigrants flowing across our border.
Yes.
There's a reason they want to come here because our system is the envy of the world. They know that you have more freedom of opportunity here in America than anywhere else on the planet.
Right, but we do have a lawless government. There's just no question about it.
And we have to use the system to replace the bad actors in government. That's what the elections are there for.
Yeah, you're such a knowledgeable guy, and I hope I didn't detour the conversation, but I just wanted to cut to the chase on that. Tell everybody how people can participate in Tea Party Patriots action and learn more about your activities and the great work you're doing, not just on election integrity, on so much more.
Thank you, Karen. It's very simple. TeaPartyPatriots.org. TeaPartyPatriots.org is the website. You go there, you can become a member, become a supporter. You will see right there on our front page, we post our calls to action. They're always changing. We've got a fresh call to action. If you want to be a grassroots activist and fight to take control of your government back, TeaPartyPatriots.org.
Bill Pasco, thank you for doing two segments with us. We so appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Karen.
Great. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and I'll have some thoughts right after this. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Continuing the legacy started in 1904, Roger Pellerin of Gate City Monument Incorporated continues to provide the same high-quality monument, custom headstone, and stoneworking craftsmanship today that they built their reputation on over 100 years ago. Servicing Nashua, New Hampshire, as well as nearby areas in Massachusetts, such as Lowell, Billerica, Chelmsford, and beyond. From creating custom monuments to memorialize, to landscaping and granite work, or restorative services, each job is done to your satisfaction and is backed by decades of experience and integrity. If you're thinking about stonework, think Roger Pellerin of Gate City Monument. Visit online at gatecitymonument.com. Stop by and meet Roger at 321 West Hollis Street in Nashua, or call 603-883-7141. That's 603-883-7141. Gate City Monument, memorials of distinction for people who care.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at unitedwaynashua.org.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at karencataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Thank you so much for staying with us, Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off here live at 1 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Well, I had a lot on my mind. I still do. And it's relevant to what we were just talking about, I believe. So many things are connected. Get a load of this for connection. Okay? Now, here's the story. The initial story, North Carolina State Legislature has proposed a bill, an outrageous bill, mandating that major government documents be studied by secondary education students. They want things, because there is no law setting higher education standards and graduation requirements. So House Bill 96 in North Carolina would require students to earn 3 credit hours of instruction in American history or American government in order to graduate. Things like the Constitution of the United States, the Declaration of Independence, the Emancipation Proclamation, at least 5 essays from the Federalist Papers, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham jail, and the Gettysburg Address. How radical. Are you sitting down? 676 University of North Carolina Chapel Hill instructors. I said Chapel Hill. It's Chapel Hill instructors, all of whom, they all signed a letter posted to a school paper, the Daily Tar Heel, that they are alarmed by the interference and overreach of the North Carolina legislature. They are protesting that they dare to teach such a thing. Now, we know and have watched that not just in higher education, but all the way to kindergarten and grade school and K-12, teachers, leftists, have been forcibly indoctrinating students with all manner of things, including critical race theory, DEI, which is another alphabet idiocy of the left, inclusion. Every time they say inclusion, they mean exclude anybody who doesn't agree with them. They're teaching gender confusion to grade schoolers. This is abominable. It is indefensible. But they don't want to teach the Constitution, even though they get government funds. This is the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. All right. So look at that against the backdrop of this next story. Put that on the shelf there. A high school class is so popular with kids at Stuyvesant New York City's school. That's a school for smart kids. And it's so popular, kids can't wait to even audit the class. It's so popular, right? What is that class? It's a course on personal finance. It covers mortgages, tax returns, student loans, and more. It educates people on personal finance. Now, here's the kicker. It has such a natural demand that they made the class a full year class, and it has grown exponentially. It's so popular that the Department of Education wants to make it mandatory. Don't you love it? Which, in my opinion, will ruin the class. They've taken natural demand for something because they never met a free market they didn't like and replaced it with mandatory. I've said for years, the left likes anything so long as it's prohibited or mandatory. They can even make a house of prostitution lose money. They've done it in Nevada. They need to mind their own business and leave people alone and allow people to choose the education that they want. But choice, yeah, the truth, the dirty little secret is that Democrats are not pro-choice about anything except abortion. Everything else, they are perfectly okay with despotism. Now, here's what's leading up to all of that. Are you ready? I thought this out. A local Hoosier in Indiana, a representative, changed his identity to a woman of color, and liberal outrage ensued. Ryan Webb, a white councilman in Indiana, now identifies as a woman of color. The best part? The media is being forced to take him seriously. Now, this is the antidote to the kind of indoctrination, the kind of pushing down our throats, the kind of insanity that we are watching. And I hearken back to Tucker Carlson. That story is still playing out. Now people are saying that he is being held hostage by a contract that was really designed to shut him up, which is obvious. If they don't want him to speak, that was probably the reason he was shut down and shut up to begin with, because apparently his contract will not allow him to speak to the public. That was the whole purpose behind it. What was the speech that he gave only days before his firing, which now suddenly the media is admitting he was fired? It's amazing. They never take responsibility for their lies. They never do retractions. They just simply move on as if it never even happened. And they never were responsible for false reporting. At the Heritage Foundation, he pointed out that we absolutely must start fighting this cultural war in a different way. We cannot presume that there is good faith on the other side, because we just got through watching how they're spending us into oblivion. They have opened our borders, which results in real death, danger, and destruction to law-abiding citizens of every race, color, and creed. They've turned it, the left, in order to do this, they've turned it into a racial issue. They've turned it into a bigotry issue. Meanwhile, they are bigoted against anyone who dares to disagree with them. So we have seen again and again, they want to disarm police and open and empty the prisons. They want to disarm law-abiding citizens, but they don't really, they're not real interested in taking weapons away from criminals. No, they want to get rid of cash bail, empty the prisons, and lower sentences on all manner of crimes. In fact, they want to make stealing $950, not only in San Francisco but elsewhere, legal. They want people to be able to steal with impunity. What you can only look at all of this through the context of who it is we're dealing with. We're dealing with an entity, a force, a small group of people. I don't think the people on the bandwagon really understand that they're being used as useful idiots to destroy, dismantle, and frankly, erase this country and the principles on which it was founded. That's what's happening. So you have to look at it within that context. Now, I am kind of enchanted with this Hoosier representative who's decided to change his identity to a woman of color, because the only way to really fight such utter insanity is to use their own definitions and fight fire with fire. Because if you don't do that, here's what you get. And here's what we have had for a very long, for quite a while. It seems like longer than it is, but it isn't. Okay, so on the one hand, they're all jazzed about a female president and a female monarchy, a matriarchal system. And they are constantly telling women they're victims and that women are a new victim group. But meanwhile, they're pushing that there really is no man or no woman. They are erasing femininity. And they want it both ways. This hypocrisy stands because they are unembarrassable. Okay? So you can't embarrass them on intellectual honesty or intellectual integrity. Have you ever tried to appeal to someone's honesty, integrity, and then find out that they have none? Now, I am not painting every Democrat with a broad brush. Unfortunately, the great majority of longtime Democrats, liberals, whatever you want to call them, progressives, are going along with this insanity because that's their peeps. Those are their groups. I've been watching a couple of, actually binge watching with my husband, a series in which every actor in the series that I can tell pays lip service to the notion that women are oppressed, women are persecuted, and women are in all the major positions in the show, but they're still not going to give up the idea that they're persecuted. They're still not going to give up the idea that conservatives are guilty of all the, dare I say, trumped up charges that the left has applied to them. So I return back. The contradiction in terms of fighting the actual teaching of the Constitution but you're going to mandate a class because it's popular. You're going to force critical race theory and gender identity issues and claim that there's such a thing as a transgender kid, even a homosexual kid. The truth be told, you don't even know what your sexual, quote, orientation is until you've learned about sexuality. Hello? You can't even diagnose someone as multiple schizophrenic. That used to be the rule in mental health until they were of either 18 or 21 or of at the age of consent. Now we have superimposed our agenda on kids, not allowing them to grow up naturally. The left used to really be into natural. Remember that? Natural this, natural that, organic this, organic that. But they are not into natural free markets. They're not into organic relationships. They're not into certainly the nuclear family, and they're not into kids being allowed to grow up naturally and to decide for themselves if they want to maim themselves with life-changing surgeries. We are trying to defend something, frankly, that is indefensible. And this man, I hope he gives a lot of other people ideas as to how to fight fire with fire. You take something that a conservative would never do, right? What, I'm going to like identify as a woman of color? I'm going to identify? Well, two can play at that game. If a 250-pound wrestler can identify as a woman and pummel a 105-pound woman in a wrestling ring, If a man can claim he's a woman so he can beat a woman in swimming, take away her dreams because God forbid we should acknowledge that men and women are different biologically, physically, spiritually, and that that's a good thing, viva la différence. If they can do it, we should be able to do it as a means of putting a highlight on the humanity that they are perpetrating on the country. There is the music. I think we're dead early, but that's okay. I'm done. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off, or at least you will be listening to Spouting Off on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. We'll see you again in another couple of days. Keep spouting off. I'm out of here.